So how many times do you go and check your mail? How many times do you, like me, sometimes leave your mail for a few days because you assume there's not really anything important in it? Lots of people, supposedly, because the post office has lost more than 100,000 jobs and about $8.5 billion over the past decade as people start to pay bills online as they use their email and text instead of postcards and letters. Still, John E. Potter, he's the Postmaster General and he's retiring. He's leaving the job with a $5.5 million package. That has people wondering about the value of a job like postmaster, and it also has people wondering if we still need the post office today. Joining us is Tad DeHaven. He's a budget analyst for the Cato Institute. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste.
You know, Tad, I want to play you a clip from Seinfeld, which it was supposed to like demonstrate Kramer's idiosyncrasies, but really it's a good question today. Listen to this.
Well, what about your bills?
The bank can pay them.
The bank? Mm. And, well, what about your cards and letters?
Email. Telephones, fax machines, FedEx, telex, telegrams, holograms.
All right, it's true. Of course nobody needs mail. What do you think you're so clever figuring that one out?
So have we reached a point where the postal service is a little bit obsolete?
Well, I think it's becoming less relevant. I think there's still a demand for its services, but I think that kind of gets to the issue is what are we going to do going forward? Technology is only getting better. And more importantly, as the generations move on, younger kids and their kids, they have cell phones, they have email, instant messaging. Lord only knows what kind of technology we're going to be having going forward. And so the Postal Service needs flexibility, and it can't have that flexibility so long as it's effectively run by Congress. And we're at the point where the Postal Service is losing billions of dollars. It has a lot of requirements put on it by Congress. It still has bloated costs. And I think we're going to reach the point where you either privatize it and move towards what the Europeans have been doing, or you're going to have to start subsidizing it directly by taxpayers. And I think that would be a disastrous decision.
Well, you know, let's talk about exactly how that would work with if it privatizes, because you know, from what I understand, I was listening to another analyst saying, look, that the reason that FedEx and UPS make money, a profit, is because they're choosing to do the part of the business which is profitable, which is deliver packages. And the U.S. Postal Service, they're the ones that have to deliver your school mailings and your notices from your banks and the stuff where it's a, you know, it's a little stamp on there and it's not necessarily profitable. So why would a private company be interested in that?
Well, there is no choice for FedEx and UPS. The Postal Service has a monopoly on first-class mail, so they cannot compete.
Hey, the Postal Service was here first, Tad. I mean, it's not like there's some evil monopoly. You Cato guys freak me out.
Actually, when the Postal Service was first created, they had post roads and these posts where the mail was dropped off. At that point, they contracted with private carriers who would then deliver the mail. They would charge maybe 2 cents. The private carrier would take maybe a penny, and the other penny would go to the Postal Service. In fact, the private sector came up with the stamp idea before the post office did. The post office implemented it years after the private sector started using it. And really, the model we have today reflects statutory changes. It reflects a growth in the size and the power and the scope of the Postal Service. And I think we need to look to Europe, of all places. I mean, by 2013, all of the national monopolies in Europe have to be denationalized. And so that what that means is there's going to be competition. The Germans have privatized their post office. Britain's looking at privatizing it and giving shares in a privatized company to their postal workers. I think that's an idea that we should look at here.
Well, but that would inevitably lead to the price of sending a postcard go up?
It may or may not. It depends on the geographic area, and it depends on supply and demand. That's the problem now.
Although the FedEx had the effect of reducing the price of overnight mail. Isn't that correct?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, the Postal Service tried to compete with UPS and FedEx on expedited mail, and they absolutely have been crushed by the competition. So Now, that being said, you often hear a lot of people say, well, FedEx and UPS should just run the Postal Service. The fact of the matter is no private company would touch the USPS right now in its current form because of all the bloated costs and because of all the requirements that Congress makes on it. That, you know, they set it up to run like a business in 1970, but it can't run like a business because Congress puts all these restrictions on it and doesn't allow the flexibility that it needs to at least break even.
Should there be, Tad, though, a service for people in rural areas to get their mail and get their information transferred, and should the federal government help and support that?
Oh, I think so. I think the whole idea that if we privatize, people in rural areas aren't going to get their mail, I think that's considerably overrated. You know, for example, I often hear from people that I got a friend out in Las Vegas who, or not Las Vegas, Nevada. Guy lives in the middle of nowhere. In fact, if he wants to get his Postal Service mail, he has to drive about 40 miles to the post office to pick it up. In fact, UPS and FedEx deliver, and he often has FedEx and UPS pick it up and then pay them to, you know, package it and then deliver.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I mean, would we then see a change in the kind of mail get sent? I mean, imagine what you're trying to imagine now, the post office of the future, where we privatize this service, there is competition. Does that mean less catalogs in my mail?
It's very possible. Again, that's why you need to have it run by the marketplace, because then consumers can decide what they want. Maybe somebody wants their mail 3 days a week. Maybe they're willing to pay a premium to have it on Saturday and Sunday. Right now, this is supposed to be a consumer society, a society based on the freedom of choice. We don't have that freedom right now. The Europeans are moving in that direction, and I think inevitably we can either go the privatized route and give consumers choice, or we can have taxpayers on the hook for this bloated dinosaur.
Tad, I figured out why you don't like the Postal Service. You don't like filing your income tax, right?
I do it online. I don't even use the Postal Service.
But bottom line, Tad DeHaven of Cato, you can make money delivering first-class mail, but not if you're USPS.
You can make money if you're given the flexibility, and Congress won't give the flexibility. Congress is too busy naming post offices after people.
Tad DeHaven, budget analyst at the Cato Institute. Thanks so much, Tad.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.